What's up, queens? Welcome to the Female Dating Strategy Podcast. I'm your host, Ro.
And this is Lilith.
And this is Savannah. What's up, queen?
And today we're going to be talking about the allegations that FDS is sex negative. We're going to talk about kink and BDSM and kind of discuss some of the nuances in that I think people sometimes misrepresent us about.
This episode is all about sex.
Yeah. And I have to say, so we already kind of sussed out when we were talking about this before we started recording. Like, I guess I'm the vanilla person here.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit back and let these other queens cover this topic because I'm the only person that hasn't really ever been into BDSM.
So, confession time. I had a post where I roasted my past pick me self, and I wanted to go into a bit more detail on this episode. So first of all, yeah, I used to be into like the kink, the BDSM scene. You know, I used to have a FetLife account, and that stuff now repulses me now that I'm an adult and I have perspective and can look back on my past experiences and realize that the kink and BDSM community is a magnet for low value and toxic men. And I don't like how so much mainstream media discourse about it is about the woman's choice. Oh, the woman's consent. Oh, what if the woman is into it? What if she likes being choked? That kind of stuff. Because it almost doesn't matter to me if the woman is interested in that, if the sort of man that is into it is toxic.
I'm concerned at how quickly it's becoming mainstream because way back when, I remember when 50 Shades of Grey came out, I strongly recommend you do not read that book. But I remember when it came out in 2014 and everybody was going completely gaga over it. I picked up a copy myself because it was just, I was curious, so to speak. And when I read the sex scenes, I was like, oh, okay. But this was in about 2013. And since then, though, like BDSM, it's just become so, so mainstream. And I don't think that's a good thing. And I think it's directly tied to, you know, the proliferation of porn. Just like Lilith, I used to be involved in the scene. And every dom I met, they first came across BDSM in porn. Now, if, you know, in BDSM porn, it is, I don't recommend anybody watching it. But if you look at it, it is very, very, extremely violent, extremely violent. There's no discussions about safe words. There's absolutely no regard for the woman, who is usually the submissive in these cases. There's absolutely no regard for her well-being. And it's really, really scary that so many young men are being almost indoctrinated into thinking that this sort of sex is normal. To the point where I used to see, you know, male doms advertising themselves, like looking for a submissive, basically. And they would say, I'm 20 years old. I've been in the scene for 7 years. It's like, do you mean to tell me you started being a dom at 13? I mean,
sure.
But to be fair, I mean, given the fact that most boys have been exposed to porn by the age of 10, is that I can actually believe that. And that is really, really scary.
We can't understate what it's doing to girls, too, because for every man that fancies himself a dom, there's a girl that thinks being submissive is cool or gonna win her the approval or attention of men. Or she, you know, gets kind of groomed by the whole porn culture just like men do, and then gets told that anybody saying, you know, expressing caution about the entire situation is kink shaming or sex negative or doesn't respect her ability to make choices as an adult. But okay, if you're, I mean, technically at 18 you're an adult, but also a lot of these scenes, it seems to me as an outsider, thrive on preying on girls that young that don't know better. They don't have a sense of their boundaries yet.
Yeah. And that's actually such a good point, because the way that I got involved in BDSM and stuff was actually when I was, like, some of my earliest experiences with men or with dating, you know, when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, were with guys who literally said that they wanted to act out the stuff that they saw in porn. And they would, you know, even show me porn and be like, that's what sex is. That's what I want to do. And I'm looking at that. And of course, like, you know, sex ed isn't terrible, but the sex ed that I get where I'm from is about, you know, condoms, how to prevent STDs, birth control, that kind of stuff. They don't really talk about what are healthy boundaries. What is, you know, the fact that you're allowed to say no as a woman, right?
Yeah, it's very medical, right? And I think that's the school's role. It's hard to say they have to teach everyone morality around sex as well as the actual clinical ideas around sex. But that means that our ideas around sex are being set by the culture, that's being set by porn, that's being set by women's magazines who keep trying to normalize stuff like this. And I could see why there was such an outrage. We've been involved in that too, against magazines like Teen Vogue printing stuff like, oh, it's okay to engage in BDSM, to a magazine meant for kids, right? Teen Vogue is read by young teens, right? Because otherwise, when they're around 18, 19, that's when people graduate to regular Vogue. You're talking girls, right? 12, 13 years old, who are reading Teen Vogue, and someone's writing in there almost to the point where it feels grooming to me. It feels grooming to me to introduce these ideas to children in a time where I feel like it's very, very age inappropriate. It's one thing to put it in an adult magazine, but the way that they keep inserting things about like, oh, it's okay to prostitute yourself, oh, it's okay to engage in BDSM to very young girls, comes across to me not all unlike people who are sexual predators who introduce kids to porn and then try to normalize the behavior so that these kids want to experiment because it's natural that their bodies are sort of changing and growing, but knowing they don't have a good sense of their own boundaries yet. It feels very, very predatory to me.
That's exactly it. Like when I was 14, I was dating a guy who was 16 and he'd been watching porn since he was 10 years old. And he essentially had groomed me to think that that is what it means to be desirable. And I just remember, like, it's so sickening. It actually makes me feel uneasy to look back on that. And I feel really sad for my teenage self, because when you're that age, you're seeking acceptance. You're kind of going through that awkward, like, transitional phase. You know, you want people to like you. And so I remember, you know, having sex when I was a teenager. And if he did something like violent or degrading to me, he'd be like, oh my gosh, that was so amazing. Thank you so much. Like he would be very vocal about how much he enjoyed that. Looking back, it's basically like what I was taught was that the price of love and intimacy is degradation and humiliation and violence. And that if you want a boyfriend or if you want to be desired, that those are the things that you have to do. And so I somehow managed to gaslight myself into being like, yeah, I'm into this. You know, they seem to respond positively to that. And I wanted them to think positively of me. And so I'd be like, yeah, I'm totally into it.
They have pick me cool girls that write all these magazines, right? And they always put themselves front and center, like they're the authority on this. And look at me, I'm really great at this. And I like, it's almost like a race to the bottom to how much sexual abuse and risky sex you can have and then pretend like you're fine, right? There was an article by Tracy Clark Florio, and she was a longtime editor of Jezebel. And actually, she wrote a book where she came out and said, oh yeah, I was faking it the whole time when I was talking about liking being choked during sex and feeling exactly how you felt, Lilith, which
even though I don't actually enjoy it, I tell myself that I enjoy it to sort of like mentally cope with the reality that that's what men want.
Right. And exactly. And feel like you're in control then, right? Because you're in control of your own abuse if you tell yourself that you like it. And that's a really, really, really dangerous message to be spreading to girls, you know, especially if you're an adult. And I have a problem with all these adults doing this, especially since some of these people are not like, they're not sex therapists, they're not medical doctors. They're just random women that Vogue decided to put on their front cover and say, okay, this person's the authority on sex. And some of these women are mentally ill, literally mentally ill. And I don't say that to make fun of people who are mentally ill, but they're not of sound mind and body to be making good, healthy choices for themselves. And they glamorize being on drugs and engaging in sex work. And then you get people like Carly Ciortino, Kat Marnell,
Gigi Engel.
Oh my God. There's so many of these women here who you basically feel like their entire stick is like shock value sex. And it'll be so crazy sometimes. It'll be like, oh, if you haven't picked up a homeless dude from the side of the road and swirled that street meat to the back of your mouth, are you really a feminist?
Yeah.
It's really insane.
Sweetie, are you even a real feminist unless you take cum shots to the face?
If you blown a guy out back in the warehouse and pop pills while you were doing
You're not a real feminist unless you support all women, including women who like to go out in public with cum on their face. Yeah.
Have you fished a dildo out of the dumpster like a real freaking feminist?
Yeah, like they're just gaslighting us about what it means to be a real feminist.
I mean, I don't believe all of them. And I remember distinctly, because I remember, especially in college, there were some girls that were like the biggest pick-me's. They were always sleeping with every guy. And on the outside, looking in based on their behavior, be like, well, they're clearly so desperate for approval. But the way they would always be so defensive and be like, I'm better than the rest of these chicks, especially because they would get attention from men. They would always have this attitude like, you just can't handle it, right? And
oh, you're just vanilla.
You're just vanilla. You can't handle it. These chicks out here prudes. You know, I'm just a ride or die. And then as an adult, you realize there's no way you're enjoying all that dick. Okay, like just probability wise, like just probably, like even as a person, I mean, I understand just being drunk and horny and wanting to fuck because drinking and fucking is fun, but just straight up numbers wise, a lot of guys' equipment ain't that great and they ain't that skilled, sis. So, you know, when you start to just have the perspective as an adult, you realize like, yeah, a lot of women spend a lot of time lying to themselves because they are desperate for male approval, but they don't like to admit it. So they cloak it in feminism and girl power and also, you know, enjoying the social status that comes with getting attention from these guys.
I think for me, the biggest issue perhaps I have with BDSM and the entire community is the cognitive dissonance. If you told somebody that my boyfriend slaps me, chokes me, throws me up against the wall, ties me up and, you know, beats me, everybody would be like, what are you doing? You're being abused. But when you add BDSM to that, or in bed, as they say, suddenly it's fine and you shouldn't kink shame. And it's like, you can't separate, you know, the person in the bedroom, you know, from the person outside. Like, you can't, I guess, pretend to be a misogynist by beating women for sexual gratification and then say you're not a misogynist. You know, it's very, very, the cognitive dissonance is absolutely huge.
We have an article like that on the website, which is that his kinks are a reflection of his character. At some point, we decided as a culture that people's kinks were completely separate from who they are. And I almost feel like it got, personally, I feel like it got snuck in when we were talking about gay rights and saying, hey, some people are just gay or lesbian. It has nothing to do with their character as a person. They're not terrible people. And so understanding people's sexual orientation is not a part of their character is a little bit different than saying people's kinks are not a part of their character.
A kink is not a protected characteristic as well. People, they love to act like it is. So if you say, if you express any sort of concern, it's, oh, you're kink shaming. That's not. And it's like, well, shame is still an emotion. And sometimes, like, you should feel ashamed.
Yeah, certain things, pedophilia, you should feel ashamed. Furries, you should feel ashamed. Okay, if you like wearing a diaper during sex, you should fucking be ashamed, okay? Like,
you should feel shame.
Shame is a mechanism of social cooperation, okay? Like, it's a way of regulating everyone's behavior.
I have to tell you, I'm tired of, like, seeing these, yeah, grown men in baby diapers and baby bottles and acting like that shit doesn't repulse me.
God, yeah.
And I cannot be the only woman that feels that way, but you can't even say anything because it's like, you hate people who are different.
I don't even hate that person. It's just gross.
It's not even personal. It's just inappropriate. And I remember it was quite interesting. If I look back, I came across BDSM in Erotica. I got a Kindle Unlimited subscription and a lot of the free books on there are BDSM. That tells you all you need to know. But anyway, I would often find that the Dom, who was often the man in these books, he was always ridiculously wealthy and ridiculously attractive.
In real life, you go to any like kink club or whatever and look at the men who call themselves Doms, not one of them, almost none of them are attractive and almost none of them are rich.
Yeah.
They're all like ugly, poor losers.
Exactly. And I mean, but it was even more interesting in the sense that it was clear the author was using, you know, their wealth and attractiveness as a substitute for the man actually having a personality or a redeeming personality. And the sub in those stories was always a massive pick-me. Oh my God, pick-me on steroids. And I can't believe I used to think that that was romance. But looking back, even the authors, they can never flesh out the Dom's personality. And, you know, and so instead of actually, you know, building a character with any depth or redeeming qualities, they would just focus on how attractive and rich he was. And, you know, like Lilith said, if you go to any BDSM party, again, and not recommended, it's not the case at all. I can probably count on... Actually, I can't count one, actually. So we'll dead that there.
They're all neckbeards. Yeah. The other thing I want to point out is that men who are good people and men who are into kink are mutually exclusive groups. Like, back to the whole character thing, I've not met a single man who was into beating women during sex who was not also a raging misogynist in real life.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Right? Like, you cannot separate, like, just because something makes your dick hard doesn't make that, like, not reality. Right? It's still part of what happens in the bedroom is still, quote unquote, real life.
It's very weird to me, especially when you look at how porn is and how everyone's just kind of decided that for whatever reason, the sexual realm is not open for criticism when it comes to their problematic themes. I feel like if any other industry was putting out the kind of content that the porn industry does, they'd be shut down by the wokesters. It'd be set on fire. So why is it okay for them to do all this racist, abusive, pedophilic, incestuous type porn? And no one really ever has a problem with it, both from the perspective of the consumers as well as the producers. And the producers include the actresses who agree to that stuff, right? It kind of just seems to me like everyone's trying to compartmentalize it outside of our culture. But I'm like, how is this not a reflection of people's character or our culture when so many of the quote unquote kinks that people are into here are taboo things in our particular culture, right? Like racism. So they'll do stuff that's deliberately playing into stereotypes against Black women. They'll do things that are deliberately playing into stereotypes against Asian women. And I think in light of the discussion we've had because of the murders in Atlanta and, you know, how this man, this like no chin having, looks like his family tree doesn't really fork much, like just gross. But you can just see the entire entitlement that he had to treating those women like they were subhuman, like they were there to service him. It's weird to me to say, oh, porn has nothing to do with that.
There was an article posted on FDS a while back that was like six marginalized groups that porn has no problem making fun of or something like that. And there was a lot of like, yeah, like cops rape like Black women or like refugees get raped by immigration officials and that kind of stuff. And like, I mean, they don't use the word rape sometimes they do, but a lot of times they use the word like force, blackmailed or something like that.
They did use the word rape until Pornhub got called before Parliament, right? And then now they cleaned up everything, but it still looks horrible, right? It doesn't look like it's getting any better.
If any other media production company had a scene where like refugee women were being raped by immigration officials for entertainment, that shit would get shut down so quickly. So why is it okay when people are masturbating to it? And the other thing to remember is that when you have an orgasm, you get a dopamine rush. It reinforces that behavior. So when someone like masturbates or gets sexual pleasure from humiliation, violence, degradation, and so on, it's just reinforcing that and building those neural pathways so much stronger.
Yeah.
It's basically like edgelord, neckbeard, incel fantasies. It's kind of like how unpopular opinion is on Reddit, where it's all the opinions that are just racist and sexist that these guys feel persecuted for saying and then sexualized. And then that's the porn industry now.
It's like they got a room full of incels to workshop, okay, what should we make our next porn film about or whatever? And then all the incels get together, go like, oh,
well, those Black women are getting too uppity, so throw some bananas at him. Like, and I'm not even exaggerating about that. They were talking about that in some Black porn actresses were talking about literally being forced to pose with bananas. Like, they're subhuman. Who's writing this? It's not even inventive. Here's the thing. It's boring because I'm like, it's not even inventive. I remember HBO's like Real Sex or something. And it would be like at least a little bit imaginative. It'd be like, I'm sexually attracted to popping balloons or I'm sexually attracted to glitter. And it would be something different, you know, or I want to have sex in a bathtub full of Jell-O. These kinks and these things that are being promoted as kink positive are all just the edgelord ideas being pushed into the mainstream by the porn industry.
And to be honest, like, I don't really care about those types of fetishes. Like, even foot fetishes, I don't have a positive or negative opinion about that. I don't care what other people do. My problem is with the...
Right, there's specific cultural narratives.
The specific cultural narratives, yeah, like in terms of anything that has to do with basically sexualizing oppression and making oppression sexy.
And abuse, yeah.
And any kind of fetish that plays into that, to me, has no place in progressive modern society.
Right. And it's like we all have collective amnesia when it comes to the porn industry. And every time I see one of these women's magazines talk about how, oh, have you paid for feminist porn, or it's empowering, or we need to support these women in the porn industry, I'm like, all of them? Because some of them are putting out very, very problematic content. And I don't know that it's, you know, there seems to be no discussion of like how responsible are they for creating these really, really toxic narratives, right?
And we always get people who go like, oh, but what about femdom, okay? Like, first of all, the vast majority of porn is not femdom. It's like 0.01% of the sexy content that you'll see is femdom. Secondly, even in femdom, the man's pleasure, the man's kinks are still the higher priority. The thing is, though, part of me kind of really likes the fact that there are women out there who get paid to kick men in the balls. Not gonna lie.
No, so it doesn't count because they like it. See, that doesn't count then.
Yeah, like if he enjoys getting kicked in the balls, then yeah, okay, it doesn't count. But I just like the idea of women getting rich from kicking men in the balls.
I hate the idea of making men happy.
Yeah, that's true, but... anyways, the author of that Verge article, what's her face? I can't remember her name, but she was a dominatrix, and she writes a lot of like pro sex work stuff.
Erin Taylor,
yeah. Yeah, and she like, I was looking at her articles that she's written. All of them are like vehemently defending the porn industry. And I'm sorry, but like, just because you are the one privileged sex worker that's able to negotiate your prices and you're the one making money from being the dominant one, doesn't excuse the 99.9999% of women in the sex trafficking industry who are being exploited.
Yeah, definitely.
She wrote an article recently too, where she was basically, she said just what you said, but also remarked about how it was harder for her to get work because all her clients had to go home to their girlfriends and wives, and it was harder for them to get away. And then the next paragraph was like, okay, so you this is how you can help support sex workers. Just send them money. I'm like, send them money for what? So you can help their husbands cheat on them? It seems so wild to me, like the cognitive dissonance between, oh yeah, I'm a person that a lot of my clients are men who are already taken with families. And also those same women should send me money. To do what, sis?
Yeah, like I'm putting other women at risk of getting an STD, but you know, feel bad for me and send me money.
Right. If they were stuck in the industry, I feel like that's one thing. But when they're actively choosing to be a part of this and they don't have to, it's not our responsibility to make sure they keep a job
and like feel good about it.
That's nobody's responsibility. In any industry.
We've had that on the FDS subreddit as well, where, you know, sex workers in the wild have wandered over and said, you should be supporting all women. And it's like, well, you know, why is the emotional labor on women, especially when you're engaging in behaviors that actively harm other women and you don't seem to care?
Yeah, we get women all the time on female dating strategy who are like, I'm a sex worker. Where's my voice? Unban me, bitch.
Not necessarily the issue that she's a sex worker, but more so just trying to keep promoting sex work on FDS. And it's like, this is not, first of all, the place for that. But then secondly, just like we said, some of this content that you're promoting is problematic.
The sex workers have even said that, you know, my favorite clients are married. You know, they know these clients are married, and it's because they're obviously not going to get too attached, I guess, if they're already married and going back to, you know, their wife at home. So it's like, you guys know what you're doing, you don't seem to care, but you still want the emotional labor and support from the same women that you're harming. It's very narcissistic.
Like, they're the ones saying, oh, you're supposed to support all women, but they're the ones enabling men to cheat on their wives. They're not supporting all women. The other thing is, just because a woman chooses to do something doesn't automatically mean that it's good for women.
Exactly. And also doesn't mean that they deserve support for it as well.
Exactly. Like, there are conservative women out there who, like, Ann Coulter has said that she thinks women shouldn't have the right to vote, right? So should I support Ann Coulter just because she's a woman? No. Like, women who say problematic shit that's harmful to women deserve critique as well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think we have to draw a line between people who are in the sex industry because, and let's just face it, a lot of the people who are in the sex industry are there because of trauma. But those women don't seem to be always given the same voice as these optional sex workers, these women that I feel like are doing it because they have drug problems or they're more or less not interesting otherwise. So they're just kind of creating this persona around their sex work. And I think the thing that needs to be clear is we don't have a responsibility to make sure this industry gets expanded or keeps going, right? And no industry gets that way. And I feel like they've been able to occupy this space where they're victims when it's convenient and then strong, empowered women when it's convenient, right? And by doing that, it's like no one's ever held accountable for their content. No one's ever held accountable for the impact they have on people who use their services, you know, and by extension, the women and who are affected by these men who use them. And it's not their fault these men are like this, but it's also like you are also enabling some of this, right?
100%.
Yeah. And you're profiting from it.
It's also enabling male entitlement. The idea that men, you know, feel like if I pay enough, I can get a woman to do whatever I want. That is essentially the sex industry.
Yeah. It really bothers me that a lot of the like pro-sex people are on this like moral high ground or act like they're on this moral high ground, like, oh, support all women, like support sex workers, blah, blah, blah. If you don't support sex workers, you're not a real feminist. But at the same time, they are supporting an industry that is extremely toxic and harmful to women. So I don't really think that they deserve to have that moral high ground. It's just not there.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. And I'm not exactly sure how and where that came into the feminist discourse. Because again, it just seems like the most privileged women took the microphone. And then the scores of women who get chewed up and spit out of this industry. I mean, watch stuff like Soft White Underbelly on YouTube. And a lot of these women have very tragic, sad backgrounds. And what leads them to porn is usually not good, or leads them to sex work is usually not good. And it's weird to have a disconnect between the glamorized version of sex work and BDSM and what it could be if everyone's safe, sane, and consensual, and everyone practices it perfectly, and all the men are respectful, and then the reality on the ground. I don't like the disconnect there because it seems like they're just completely ignoring the carnage to push an ideology. And if there's anything I think FDS is trying to cut through is let's stop with the fairy tales, stop with the liberal fairy tales that everything is going to be perfect in these types of communities. They're just like any other type of community. Are you telling me, for example, like that being a waitress and having shitty clients and having them sometimes be jerks and how much that affects women who work, you know, in the service industry emotionally, and then you sexualize that, you're telling me that's actually better and they're getting more respect from their clients and these women are in power positions when, you know, they're just as desperate to make rent as someone who busses tables, right? I don't understand how they're trying to make it seem as if this industry is the exception to the rule. It defies all logic to me.
Mm-hmm. Every single time that a dom does something shitty or abusive, like Armie Hammer, for example.
Oh, God.
They go, oh, well, not all doms are like that. It's like the not all men are like that.
Not all cannibals.
I mean, but it isn't even that. The discourse is, oh, well, that wasn't a dom, that was an abuser. Typical no true Scotsman fallacy. It makes absolutely no sense. If your community is predicated on abuse, which is what BDSM is, regardless of whether you consent or not, you shouldn't be surprised when...
And BDSM, let's be clear, it's bondage, sadomasochism.
Bondage, dominance, sadism, masochism.
And it's like literally abuse. You can't then act shocked when people get abused. It's just so, so stupid.
The other disturbing thing about the BDSM community is the emphasis on like the quote-unquote fresh meat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they actually fetishize the women who are new to the scene, who are younger, who don't know how to have strong boundaries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those are the ones who get disproportionately targeted, right? And so it bothers me when there are women who maybe have more experience, who have been in the scene for longer, and they're pushing this pro-BDSM narrative. At the same time, they're not the ones necessarily being hurt the most. It's the less experienced women.
See, that scares me too, because that sets up a situation where you have a woman who is probably seeking this out, you know, for the reasons that you guys have already stated, and then they're getting lavished with attention by this community.
Yeah.
Because they're new and inexperienced. It is
super dark. It is so insidious, actually.
100%. Like, it is. I mean, there are subreddits on Reddit where, you know, people can say, I'm looking for a dorm or a sub or whatever they want. And when I see a girl who's like 18, my heart just completely sinks. Because it's like, she's going to get, I just can't even, because at that age, you don't even know what you don't know. And like, you know, Lilith said, she's got a massive target on her back and she won't even know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a deer, like wandering out in a field, limping, being like, oh, I'm looking for a nice, friendly lion to, you know, help me. And she doesn't even realize that she's making herself so vulnerable. Oh, another thing about what Rose said earlier about consent. I feel like the concept of consent has been muddied a lot by the sex posy feminists, right? The general like vibe about consent is like, oh, we believe in consent. Anything that is consensual is good. But at the same time, as soon as women start putting up boundaries and saying no, which you're allowed to do under the concept of consent, all of a sudden people start to have a problem with that. And it's like, oh, you're sex negative or you're prudish or.
And I want to interject here. There was a really, really great article on just the concept that you said by this journalist named Louise Perry. She's been a long time. She's funny because she interacts with our FDS Twitter sometimes. She laid out the case that you just did, is that the left has no morality other than consent is okay, but they seem to ignore all of the cultural influences that go into who is allowed to say no, when they're allowed to say no, what happens when they say no, and the consequences to that. And just saying, you know, these things don't exist in a vacuum. So I think it's important when we just say consent is the barrier. It's like, well, technically women who are in abusive relationships, they're kind of consenting to be there a lot of times. That's kind of the ugly truth. But we don't allow women who are coming to, you know, work with black eyes to just say, well, I just love him and I want to stay all the time. And we allow them, but we also say, like, sis, like, what you're doing here is clearly damaging to you mentally and emotionally, right? Even if you're quote unquote okay with his abuse, right?
Yeah. Like, all of the sex stuff that I've done that traumatized me, I technically consented to it. Consent is a very, very low bar. And the other thing that I find dark is, like, if you talk about having a negative sexual experience, like, on my other, like, Reddit accounts, there have been cases where I say, like, oh, I had this, like, bad sexual experience, you know, related to BDSM. There's always comments that are like, oh, but you consented to it. So it's almost placing, if a woman consents to something and then something bad happens, it's just victim blaming. They're just putting it back on the woman for, oh, well, you should have known better. You consented to it. If a man does something bad to you after you consent, you had it coming. And so that's what I mean about the concept of consent being sort of twisted by what we call left-wing patriarchy, because if you say no, you get punished. If you say yes and then you have a bad experience, you also get punished. And so is it really consent when women have been raised to have weak boundaries, have been punished their whole lives for advocating for themselves and conditioned to prioritize men's pleasure?
Yeah, lip femme cool girl boss types pretend that they're above that all the time. They're not honest about it. And I think what happens is, and it's all cope, by the way, like so much of it's cope, because you'll see the same type of people on Twitter and Instagram talking about their newest anxiety problem. And it's like, well, maybe it's because you're letting dudes choke you out that you don't like or respect you, sis. It's stuff like that where the cognitive dissonance between their myriad of mental health issues and the behavior that they're engaging in, they don't want to ever admit that they made a mistake or that they're just regular, like they're trying to so hard not to be like the other girls, right? And they're harming themselves and then other people in the process because they have a microphone.
I mean, pygmies are basically just the flying monkeys of the patriarchy.
Exactly.
Like, I feel almost kind of bad for women who defend BDSM because I used to be like that. Difference is, like, I never had a Twitter account with millions of followers. Like, I've said stupid shit in the past, but I wasn't really influencing anybody either, right? And I wasn't profiting from that either as well, right? So all these, like, sex, quote unquote, sex advice, you know, guru people that you see on social media, the ones that are promoting these narratives that are harmful to women, I have much more limited compassion for them. I basically consider BDSM to be a form of self-harm. People choose to do things all the time that are harmful to themselves, And if someone you know is engaging in self-destructive behavior, whether that is drugs or, you know, an eating disorder or cutting themselves or being in an abusive relationship, you get them the help that they need. You don't egg them on and tell them that their self-destructive behavior is empowering.
So to tie up the BDSM part of this podcast, I want to share the story of a famous actor named Armie Hammer, who was recently outed for by several women for having a fetish for, I think it was for cannibalism.
Not all cannibals, sis.
Yeah, not all cannibals are like that, okay? Like,
how dare you suggest there's something wrong?
He basically sent these women quite explicit like messages on Instagram, basically saying how he wanted to basically cannibalize them. I think in one message, he said he wanted to chop her to pieces and then fuck the pile that was her body or some weird shit like that.
Totally, or like, I want to cut off your finger and then put it in my pocket so I always have you with me or something like that.
Or some shit like that. And then we had we had women actually defending like cannibalism as a fetish. And that was when I knew we have now reached the end game of BDSM. And the only thing that can probably bring us back is probably a Thanos snap to the beginning of the earth, because I don't know how you can come back from actually defending, you know, something like cannibalism.
It's weird to be cannibalism. If a man says that to you, is that not a red flag?
Huge red flag.
Massive. It's so weird to me where they talk about, well, you should see the red flags when you're in a bad relationship. And then they normalize every type of depravity and disrespect possible. And then say, you're shaming people and you're not a real feminist and you don't understand.
Yeah.
When we call it out, it's so bizarre to me. And this is why women are constantly fucking losing out here, because the pick-me's will normalize anything a man says. Doesn't matter. Even cannibalism.
Even if he wants to eat you for a sexual gratification.
There are pick-me's who defend pedophilia, okay? Like, with the whole Amy Chandler debacle. Chandler? I don't know how to...
Two L's for their whole life. Double L. Their whole life is an L, to be honest.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, for those of you listening... Long story short, basically Reddit got shut down for a couple of days because Reddit hired a pedophile, or a pedophile like apologist, I should say, whose father and whose husband are known pedophiles.
Father was convicted of torturing and raping a 10-year-old girl. Husband was outed to be writing child pornography kink literature and being the moderator of, I think, 60, 70 subs related to LGBTQ issues, some of which were for children.
And some of them related to teens, yeah.
And had a diaper fetish, and it's really sick.
Yeah, and what I was astonished by is how many people, some women included, who were saying, like, there's a difference between being a pedophile and committing child sexual abuse. Like, not all pedophiles actually rape children, and not all child rapists are pedophiles, and, you know, pedophiles deserve our sympathy, basically defending them. And what kind of fucking world do we live in where people are defending pedophiles?
Noah, bring the flood.
Of all people. Like, no, there's no possible situation where that's okay.
It's very scary to me because it's like almost creep or kink creep, where they're just slowly but surely eroding people's boundaries and sense of normalcy and forcing women to be more and more sexually available, being less concerned about safeguarding around children.
And not even women, girls.
Girls, yeah.
Like 10-year-old girls should be sexually available. They're saying that 10-year-old girls should be sexually available to adult men.
Okay, fuck that.
Fuck no, okay? That's the end game, is to defend the worst parts of humanity. Like the truly, like, below bar, in hell, depraved beyond imagination, literally eating people and raping children. That's the stuff that is getting normalized nowadays.
The predators keep taking the microphone and they keep trying to create a situation for themselves where they can have the kind of victims that they want. And they're going to keep doing that. But the Pygmies just jumping in and agreeing all the time is the problem. And it's why we're kind of hard on them, because I'm like, listen, you are actually opening the door for a lot of very, very toxic, predatory, dangerous things with your knee-jerk defense of whatever man gets up on a mic and tries to normalize anything. Right? Like, you guys got to stand on your own 2 feet and look at this for what it is. Like, don't be so empathetic to people's differences that it's toxic. It's almost like a toxic level of empathy. Like, to the, they have no sense of self-preservation. And I'm like, it's fine to say, first of all, that you're grossed out by this. It's also fine to say, no, get used to saying no, be comfortable saying no.
Yes.
Be comfortable strategizing and looking, okay, what are all the weaknesses in this argument that could cause problems for us or me? It's fine to do that. And I'm tired of the left, like, almost weaponizing victimhood and glamorizing victimhood, because it doesn't do us any good.
100%.
So in terms of closing remarks, I just want to conclude with a reminder that sexuality does not exist in a vacuum. What we do in the bedroom exists within a greater context, and that context is a patriarchal, racist, exploitative system. The things that make us horny, you know, it doesn't just occur randomly. It's not something that you're born with, like being gay or being lesbian. We're not born to be sexually submissive, and men are not born to be sexually violent, or even vice versa. Your kinks are a reflection of your mental state. They're a reflection of the society that you live in. It's not an innate part of who we are as humans. In general, I don't think we should be normalizing violent and degrading sex. We shouldn't be normalizing any type of sexuality that normalizes violence against women. By the way, in all of these BDSM encounters that I had, not once did a man ever make me come. The sex was literally over when he orgasmed, and his pleasure always came first. It was always his fetishes that we were exploring, and I was just sort of going along with it because I wanted to be a good girlfriend or whatever. On the very rare occasion where I did manage to come, it was because I was using a vibrator on myself, and he was just sort of like there. He wasn't even using the vibrator on me. I was basically just masturbating in his presence. I gained literally nothing from indulging in his fantasies except for validation and acceptance from a shitty, abusive, low-value man. And now I realize that even that was harmful because it was just part of the grooming process. My first few boyfriends, like, basically conditioned me to be easier to abuse for the next guy. We need to break this cycle. And I know a lot of our critics probably listening in are thinking to themselves, like, oh my gosh, where are you finding these guys? There must be something wrong with you if you've dated so many terrible dudes, because most men are good. Which, first of all, that's a lie. Most men are not good. When you've got thousands of women saying the exact same thing, there's probably at least some truth to it. Two, that's just more victim blaming. The solution isn't just pick better guys, because those guys still exist even if we pick different guys. They're just going to go out and abuse a different woman. This is a structural society-wide problem.
Okay, so this segment, we're going to talk about polyamory.
So one thing we get a lot in the subreddit is whenever we say anything remotely critical of polyamory, we always get a bunch of polyamorous people being like, oh my gosh, why are you always attacking us? Why are you always attacking polyamorous people? Blah, blah, blah. First of all, we're not the ones attacking polyamorous people. Like, polyamorous people comment on our subreddit all the time being like, how dare you say anything bad about polyamory? And like, I'm in a polyamorous relationship and I love it, and you should promote polyamory here too, blah, blah, blah. So when we say critical stuff about polyamory, we're kind of responding to those comments. It's not coming out of nowhere. Secondly, like, my problem with polyamory is that it doesn't take into account the fact that people who promote polyamory act like we live in a world where men and women are already equal and that there's no sexual differences between men and women. And it shows. For example, it's pretty celebrated, I guess, for one guy to have multiple girlfriends. But if one woman were to have multiple boyfriends, that is not received as positively. It's just polygamy and sister wives with a different leftist rebranding.
Yeah, it's been weird to me to see the left come full circle, because again, as a person who was raised on the more conservative circles, not like nobody anybody I knew was into the sister wife thing. But I do remember, watching reality shows when that was so controversial, and you'd see these women coming out of those huge compounds and like the little house in the prairie dress, and everybody would feel bad for them about how oppressive it was and how having a man having multiple wives is wrong and exploitative, and these women were brainwashed. And they would talk to the sister wives, and the sister wives would justify it, not unlike a lot of times you see polyamorous couples. I'm choosing this. This is my choice. I'm lovingly sharing this man with these other women. It makes household chores easier. We have really good communication with each other. And so it's very, very strange. I just don't understand. Like, it's for me as a person, I'm just watching these two dogmas almost align in their practice, even if they think they're ideologically different, or they're coming to the same conclusion from different routes of thought. And I have to say, it's just one of those things that maybe woke me up out of the bubble of liberal feminism, because I'm like, wait, I stopped hanging around religious people because I didn't like ideologies being pushed that I thought were not actually beneficial to women, among other things, right? But that's a big part of it, is just looking at the practical reality of what these practices mean versus what they're trying to tell you loving submission should look like. And then be like, yeah, no, I'm not going. And to see this kind of take over secular media, it's almost like secular media has become its own little religion.
Yeah. The thing is like, most men can't even please one woman. So what makes them think that they're entitled to have more than one?
Facts.
Like,
they can barely communicate. That's the crazy thing to me. I'm like, and if they can communicate, they're usually very manipulative. So that's the trade-off. You get a guy that can barely string sentences together or articulate his own thoughts. And then you have the guys that are motor mouths that can, you know, sell a plate of ribs to a woman with white gloves in the summertime, right?
And I think part of the appeal of, you know, like monogamy is that, you know, you can get somebody else, but you're choosing to be with that person. I think for me, I can love multiple people. It just really, really takes out the essence of choosing to be with somebody if you're essentially saying, well, I can choose to be with multiple people.
Yeah. And all the women who do this are lying to themselves. Like, I remember there was a few of these sexperts that were pushing the polyamory thing. I want to say like Shan Booty was one. And when you get down to the nitty gritty of it, they don't actually have sex with other people. They just say, oh, you're free to do what you want. But then they're constantly vetoing it or getting jealous. And that's the same deal with, you know, a lot of the people we'd see on polyamorous couples that would be talking about on Reddit, where there'd always be one person who would feel left out. They'd be like, well, I feel like I don't communicate as well with one person, and I feel like I'm being left out. And I'm like, have you ever tried to go on vacation with three people? And how much of a clusterfuck that is sometimes with your friends, because there's always like a situation where two people want to do something and another person doesn't. Are you telling me you're going to do this as a lifelong lifestyle? Are you shitting me?
Do you know what I mean?
Like, relationships and communication are already work and are challenging enough when there's two people. When you add a third person in there, it just creates this odd sort of dynamic where, you know, two people might feel closer and one person might feel left out or something like that. And you see this all the time on the polyamory subreddits, how, like, you know, I'm feeling jealous of my partner. How do I not feel jealous? Maybe there's something wrong with the premise of your question there.
You're going to. I mean, and this is just in platonic friendships. Like I said, I've gone on vacation with two other friends, and it always happens. At some point in the trip, two people just kind of grow closer during the trip, and the third person's kind of odd way out. And it doesn't feel great for that person, because then you feel like, well, did you invite me along to split the bill? And it might not have even started out that way. It might have started with the best intentions, but there's always like little disagreements. And then, you know, if you have any issues at all in the friendship, like, it'll get amplified just because you have to make all these decisions and you are being forced to constantly choose sides. So it's very, very strange to me to think this dynamic is somehow perfect again, unless you have one person who's sort of dominant and then the other three kind of do, you know, they're basically massive pygmies. And that's the sister wife situation where like they have one guy that makes all the decisions and then they just go do all the domestic labor in the background. That's the only way that really works.
So, ladies, I actually have a confession about polyamory.
Because I totally used to be one of them. So
you guys, again, the vanilla person here.
Okay, let me tell you this story. Yeah. So let me tell you this story. So
don't let them say that we don't know what we're talking about, because there's more than enough women who've been in this lifestyle who are on our sub who can tell you the truth. That's what we're telling people, the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all these people saying like, oh, clearly you don't know anything about polyamory. I'm like, bitch, this is my lived reality, okay? I own my own experiences and I'm allowed to talk about them positively or negatively, okay? If you can't handle that, like, just click away. Just go look somewhere else. If you can't handle someone criticizing your lifestyle, why are you looking at it? But anyways, so a bit about my experience. So I was in a relationship with a guy and it was actually his idea because I went to study abroad.
Oh, God.
So what happened is I went to study abroad and we were like long distance relationship. And he was like, oh, babe, like, I'm just so horny. I want to like fuck around or whatever. And at the time, because I was still like live femme, pick me, brainwashed, I was like, oh, babe, like, you know, I like weirdly felt like compassion for my boyfriend for the fact that he wanted to cheat on me.
Lip films will have you out here looking stupid. Like, honestly.
I'm, like, cringing at myself and, like, my thought process because, okay, so the thing is, there's a few twists and turns in this story. So he ends up convincing me, like, we should have an open relationship. And he's like, oh, well, you're studying abroad. Like, I'm sure you'll have fun. I found out after the fact, apparently there was a girl he had already been seeing and, like, they were already fucking.
Oh, my gosh.
What ended up happening is, him and that girl didn't work out and he struggled to find another partner after this. Like he couldn't get like, you know, they had a bit of a fling. She dumped him and he wasn't able to find anyone else after that. Meanwhile, I'm studying abroad and I'm having the time of my life.
Oh my God. This is always the story, isn't it? When like the guy wants to open it up and then he realizes that that pussy landed dry for him.
And so, and here's the other thing is, I was in college and I really wanted to not do like the whole backpacking thing. Like I don't like backpacking. It's just dirty and you're staying in hostels and I wanted to travel with the style. So I ended up actually finding a sugar daddy. Confession number two. Sorry, don't judge me, ladies, but
no judgment zone.
Yeah. So I ended up meeting this guy from Switzerland who was insanely rich. We sort of got together, we met online and, you know, we got together and we ended up like traveling Europe together, right? And he bankrolled the whole thing. I had some of the best experiences of my life, fine dining, you know, going to resorts, you know, designer clothes. He Wow. actually bought me an apartment, okay? Like I don't want people listening this to think that I'm like promoting being a sugar baby, because the end result of this was that like he got me an apartment that was better, but then he actually ghosted on me. And so I just got evicted. Like I couldn't pay the rent on this apartment. So I actually got evicted. It was like going from like a very high, high to a very low, low, which is why I think being a sugar baby is ultimately very risky, because if you're hitching your cart to some guy, you have no control over whether he's going to continue bankrolling you. You don't want to ever be in a situation where he's paying for your housing and he can withdraw that support at any time. And in which case you're just screwed. But anyways, there was a lot of stuff that happened. With my boyfriend back in Canada, he was not pleased. Like when I was talking about like some of the traveling experiences that I was having that were amazing, he was super jealous, obviously. And it got to a point where he was like, oh, you know, I've reconsidered, like, I want to close our relationship again.
Right.
You know, like he wasn't comfortable with this. Like he was no longer comfortable with it. And I was at that point, I was just like, well, too fucking bad. Like I'm having a good time. You were the one who opened this Pandora's box. Okay. I'm not going to close it just because you changed your mind because you're not having as much fun as me.
That's the thing. They only want it if it doesn't actually make you happy.
That's exactly it. Like he only asked for the open relationship because he wanted permission to cheat on me openly. And then when that didn't work out for him and I opened up the relationship and I ended up having a great time, that's when he was like, nope, we can't have this, like shut it down, back to monogamy. We ended up breaking up over this, right?
obviously, like, this is an era. He actually, so funny thing, he actually made a post on Reddit that he shared with me. And he, of course, painted it in a way of like, I'm the victim.
Oh my gosh.
You know, my girlfriend wanted to open up the relationship and I'm not comfortable with it. Like, he made it seem like it was my idea.
Oh my gosh.
And so ended up being one of those ones on the relationship subs where I was made out to be like the bad guy and he was the innocent victim. Of course, all the comments were like, oh my gosh, you need to break up with her. She's evil. You know, he sent me this link. Like, I don't know what he was thinking because I read the actual post. This is full of lies. I don't know why you're asking the internet to gaslight me on your behalf. This is the thing that men do is they go post one-sided stories on the relationship subs and then they share it with their girlfriend so that they can be like, see, there's all these other people agreeing with me. Look how many upvotes they have. Or look how many upvotes I have. Anyways, long story short, the whole polyamory thing, like, kind of worked out for me.
It did work out for him.
Yeah, it did kind of work out for him.
Beautiful story.
Poor little Tim, it didn't work out for him, as we say.
Like, in the US, we say he fucked around and found out.
And that was my brief stint in polyamory. But yeah, the sugar baby thing definitely did not work for me. Like, after that experience, I was just like so traumatized. I never wanted to go there again. I just had trust issues. And it's a weird dynamic with sugar babies because if you ask for any like safeguards or ask for any like security or guarantees, there's almost this implication of like, oh, well, there's thousands of other girls out there who don't have all these demands. So, you know, I'm just going to go for them kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So
I do think the lack of security is deliberate because that's their leverage over you.
Yeah. Like they'll even kind of imply that, oh, there's like thousands of, you know, beautiful college girls out there, don't have any boundaries. And so if you have any boundaries, then I'm just going to move on kind of thing. So you're almost like socially coerced into...
Well, that makes sense, right? Because a lot of times abusive people like to foster a sense of dependency, right? That's part of the whole thing.
And the other thing is I was 19 years old, okay? So I was young. I didn't really know a whole lot about, you know, I don't know. I was vulnerable. I didn't really... And I'm interacting with men who are like in their 30s and 40s. They have much more life experience than me. They, you know, I don't know. I was young and stupid. I didn't know better, but it ended up not working out for me. But I'd never really tried polyamory again after that just because it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth after that.
The other unexplored aspect of it, and something I have talked to some women about, is that this is kind of the polyamory thing was sort of a safe way to be bisexual if you're a woman. Now it's become much more open and it's fine to be a person who is bisexual openly. But sometimes it also attracts women who are really trying to come to grips with their sexuality. And it's almost like a stepping stone to say, well, we're in a relationship, right?
For women who are bisexual, I think they're just better off only dating women. Like, you know, why involve a man at all? Like, if you have the option of not dating men, why would you date a man?
It's just performative straightness, right?
I guess, yeah. Like heteronormativity kind of stuff, yeah. You know when you're on Tinder and there's like the Tinder couples? And they're looking for a third.
Oh, God.
They're never looking for another man, right? And that's the other thing about polyamory. They're always looking for a quote-unquote unicorn, right? They're the unicorn hunters. They're never looking for another man, or very rarely. And that's another thing that is fucking bullshit about polyamory, is the fact that they're basically treating these other women as like a sex toy for their shit relationship.
Yeah, it's very, very weird, because I'm like, you want me to be part of your awkward relationship dynamic? Like, I don't even like being part of my own awkward relationship dynamics. Why would I insert myself into somebody else's?
And most of these people, like, their relationship is on the rocks anyways. Like, I'm firmly of the belief that if you have to ask your partner to open up your marriage or become polyamorous, your relationship's already doomed. And it's just a last ditch effort to try to save things, but it's not savable.
It's doomed, yeah. Like, I mean, I've known a few, for example, low-value guys who've admitted to me and said, you know, when I asked to open up my relationship, like, one of them was a dom who was in a relationship with a woman who wasn't into the scene. So he was like, I basically need to abuse submissives because it's what I need. And they opened up on that basis, and surprise, surprise, it didn't work out. So,
and those ones actually are kind of gross to me because it's very like Madonna horror complex-ish, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, my girlfriend or my wife isn't into BDSM and I respect her, so I'm not going to do those. We've even seen Reddit posts where like a girl is the third and he says to her straight up, like, I respect my wife too much to do these things to her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, wait, so he's saying that he doesn't respect me? Yes.
Yeah, that's what he's saying, sis. That's what he's saying.
That's exactly what he's saying.
It's weird because, again, left-wing fairy tale where they always think that these guys really love them deep down and all these men who pay for sex with them or invite them to these situations where they're clearly at a disadvantage. In their head, they're like, oh, he respects me. But when you listen to what men actually say, and they say this very explicitly sometimes in addition to, you know, passive aggressively, they don't respect these women. They don't do these things to women they respect.
Yeah. And that actually goes full circle back to the like sex work stuff. I don't know if we want to get into sex work. That the whole sex industry is its own thing, but prostitutes say all the time, like, oh, half my clients are married men, or most of my clients are married men, and they do stuff with me that they wouldn't want to do with their wife. Like, how can you say that and think that there's nothing wrong with that?
That's not a compliment to you.
They always think that the wife's a harpy bitch, right? That's the other subtext with sex workers saying that. And you see that a lot of times. They're the side chick, right? Oh, his wife doesn't understand him. There's even like a sex worker that made a TED talk like that. That was basically like, oh, a lot of guys come to me for emotional support they're not getting with their wives and girlfriends. And so I'm just telling you girls what they need. And I'm like, they're probably garbage husbands. That's why.
They're probably a terrible husband. That's why they're not getting emotional support.
And the thing is, they probably are getting emotional support. These men go to these sex workers and they just lie.
Right.
Like, they lie. They'll say, my marriage is shit. Like, my wife's not putting out.
They're justifying it to themselves.
But it's a complete lie. That's why they don't leave their wife.
They act like it's some kind of precious secret that they're only being told. And I'm like, this is the most pick-me ignorance I've ever seen. Again, every time you find yourself just face value taking what men say to you, really check yourself, because they create these whole narratives out of nothing, spinning webs of lies to justify their nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cap, cap, capping.
It's the capping, isn't it? Like, it's the capping, like that article said on the website, like, men, you know, turning Pinocchio. It's like turning Pinocchio into a real boy. Men will say something and just, they don't even believe it themselves. They'll just say it and just hope that, you know, a woman latches onto it and believes it. They just need one woman for it to work for them, and that's it.
Sex work Twitter is a landmine, but there was one woman I saw describing her sex work and saying that she got treated nicer by her Johns than any guy in her real life, and was kind of bragging about
it. So sad.
It made me so sad. And I was like, you almost can't even say anything to him because you're like, girl, that's actually tragic. And I feel bad because I want to tell you, no, they're not treating you well at all. But then I also don't want to clearly break your very fragile sense of self, already fragile sense of self. So it's like a balance between telling these women the truth and then not destroying them by the truth.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot. I have a friend who is in a relationship with this guy named Josh. I fucking hate Josh. Okay. So he's like 10 years older than her and is a low value man, is the worst person ever. I'm using his real name, by the way. Fuck Josh. I want Josh out there to hear this and be like, I am trash. Yeah, Josh, you are trash. Okay. Anyway, so he's like 10 years older than her. And because she's been in an abusive relationship, like every single relationship he's ever had was physically and emotionally abusive. And because this guy doesn't actively beat her, she's like, oh my gosh, he's like one of the good ones. And like, you know, he treats me better than any man I've ever been with. And I'm like, girl, that's not a flex, okay? That's not something to be proud of. That's really, really sad. And so I don't like how women have been set up to have such low expectations where a guy walks along who doesn't actively beat her, actively abuse her, and she's like, wow, he's a great guy. He's one of the good ones. Like, they have not earned that title.
Pick-me stories are the worst. There is yet another one from Twitter where a woman was describing, this is actually one of, I think, our most upvoted posts on the subreddit, but she was talking about how she had broken her leg and she was making out with this guy and then she couldn't because it was painful. And so he stopped and she was like, I thought that was the nicest thing any guy's ever done for me. It means stopped having sex with you and like let you stay. Basically, he let her stay and watch the movie with him. And I'm like, that's the nicest thing. He did kick you out immediately after because you didn't have sex with him. And I was just like, oh my God, I don't know what to say to stuff like that. Because I'm like, that's bare minimum, sis. Bare minimum.
That's not even bare minimum. That's just like
being a decent person, not kicking someone out in the middle of the night because they couldn't have sex with you in that moment. Like, what the heck?
And the sad thing is like that actually does happen all the time. Like there have been times where, like, here's the thing, ladies who are listening in on this, if a guy asks you to his place, he wants to fuck you. Okay? I don't care what he says.
Just cuddle. Just a cuddle.
We just want to cook together, or just Netflix and chill, whatever. No. If you go to his place, he has the expectation that you're going to have sex. Okay? So don't go there unless you are okay with having sex. And even then, you're allowed to say no at any time and leave. But there have been times where, you know, I'd go to a guy's place and for whatever reason, I just didn't want to have sex. And they would just kick me out in the middle of the night. They don't care.
No.
Like, as soon as you put up a boundary, they're like, okay, you're of no use to me. Like, get out.
What? Seriously? So, I mean, I'm quite inexperienced in this area because I wouldn't. But I can't believe they would do that. Oh, my gosh.
And not just not even not having sex. Like, they're I remember, like, I said something that was, like, mildly offensive to a guy. And he, you know, kicked me out. And it wasn't even that bad. We were like watching like a true crime documentary about a woman going to a guy's place for a date. He murders her. And I made a joke that was like, I hope you don't do that to me. And he just lost it. Like, he just was like, I can't believe you would even imply that I would do such a thing. And just didn't understand. I was fucking joking and then kicked me out. I was like, wow, fuck you.
When you look at the way that men will defend the stupidest boundaries for no reason, and you see a lot of women mulling over whether we should defend legitimate boundaries, and then all the pick-me's in media coming for us, it feels patently unfair, and it feels very sexist that everybody is invested in telling women that our boundaries are messed up and wrong and aren't being set right. And I'm just like, we're going to be the light in the tunnel and at the end of the dark tunnel, that's like, whatever you feel deep in your heart, honor it. It doesn't matter. If he just eats his food wrong and you don't want to look at it anymore, girl, get up and leave. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. If he breathes wrong, if he has a weird lisp, I shouldn't say that. That's maybe too far.
Never far enough.
But, no, if he pisses you off, I don't know, say you don't like guys with the name Brandon or whatever, like, dump him.
I mean, but ultimately, an interpersonal or like personal relationship is different to a work relationship or any other kind of relationship. You can be as discriminatory as you want. Like, there is nothing wrong with that because the amount of, you know, physical, emotional, mental investment in a personal relationship, like a romantic relationship, is quite different to any other. So like the men who tend to have the biggest issues with like women's standards are the ones who don't meet them. I mean, AKA the men who don't matter anyway, you know, let them be mad.
Yeah. Like, who cares if you're alienating low value men? Okay. That is the whole point.
Yeah. Who cares if they think they're just going to get mad? Let them be mad.
I'm sure there are people who complain that the Rolls Royce is too expensive, but the people complaining, it's not marketed towards them anyway, because the people that can actually afford a Rolls Royce will pay for it without complaining. So it's the same principle.
Whenever a guy is doing something shitty and then a woman is like, I don't like this, I want to have a boundary about this, there's always people going, oh, but all men are like that. If you want a relationship, you have... It's most commonly said in the context of porn, right? My boyfriend is a porn addict and I hate it. And then all the replies are like, all men watch porn. So if you want a boyfriend, you have to put up with that. No, you don't. You do not have to put up with it, okay?
You don't have to put up with porn.
Yeah, you don't have to put up with porn. I'm going to call them on their bluff. And if they go, oh, all men watch porn, if you want a relationship, you have to put up with it. I'm going to go, no, thanks. I don't want to put up with it. So I don't want a relationship. Thanks. That is the key there. Like, ladies, if there's something that your guy's doing, sexually or otherwise, that you don't like, you don't need to negotiate down your boundaries. You're not missing something. You don't need to communicate with him in a way that doesn't hurt his feelings or whatever. Just break up with him. That's it. It's that simple.
That's our show. Another one in the box.
Woo!
All right.
Cool.
Please visit our website at thefemaledatingstrategy.com, as well as our Patreon at patreon.com/thefemaledatingstrategy. Thank you for listening, queens. And for all you scroats out there, Andrea Dworkin got more pussy than you. See you next week.